In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of FF.
Gross. I think what you're trying to say is Film Feud.
Yep, Film Feud, Film Feud.
This is the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
How are you doing, Vikram?
Excellent.
That's good to hear. Want to tell the good folk what we're doing here?
We are recording a podcast, guys. So if you look at us right now, we're like sitting in front of mics and stuff. And like we have these headphones on and we're...
That's not what I meant.
Oh.
What do we do on this podcast, you fool?
Oh, good question. So what we do is we choose a movie from the IMDb top 250.
At random.
At random. And we toss a coin.
At random.
Yes, at random. And we assign each other sides and we debate.
Feud, one might say. Film debate is very much not the name of this podcast.
Yeah, and you know, like mix things up, spice of life, all that shit.
And last week, the Film Feud wheel decided to mix things up. And at random chose for us Gangs of Wazipur.
Bollywood in the house.
Dude, this is going to be interesting. This is the first Bollywood movie we're going to feud about.
Just a heads up to our listeners, because we both are from India, there will be a lot of Hindi references, I'm assuming, going to be thrown around.
What's this Hindi? I thought the language is called Indian.
It is. It's Hindi.
Hindi?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Hindi in this episode.
So I guess this is sort of a disclaimer, right? That I don't think we're going to hold back on the Hindi.
We can't. We can't, being Indians. I mean,
not
we can't.
For this movie.
And even though Gangs of Wasseypur was released in two parts over a couple of years, just like IMDb, we're treating this as one long, crazy movie.
That's right. This five-hour, maybe five-hour plus.
I think it'd be like 5.5 hours or something.
Gangster
for sure.
Saga covering the rise and fall of Gangs of Wazipur in Bihar, India.
Well, Jharkhand now.
Oh, Jharkhand. Yeah. Good point. Good point. 5 hours of movie. Here I come.
Yeah. So let's toss this coin. Whether do you want to run our listeners by what we do here?
So how the coin toss works is I will be tossing the coin and heads is for, tails is against. Let's do this. Yes. Vikram.
Yes.
Tell the good folk what the coin has brought forth for us today.
I am arguing against Gangs of Wazipur.
Oh, you sound a little morose, a little upset.
No,
little
I
grim.
Do not. This movie's long as shit.
Oh, it's long. Yeah. I remember discussing that just a few seconds ago, excitedly.
Look, man, it's going to be like my fourth viewing of the movie, I'm sure.
Oh, you must have loved it to have viewed it three times already.
No, I've watched everything pretty much three times. It's the fourth time when I actually start basing an opinion.
This is going to be so easy. It's going to be so easy.
It's going to be interesting. I'm actually stoked.
Yeah, I see the tear rolling down your cheek.
That, dude. I'm pretty pumped to go watch the movie. Let's do it.
All right. But before we go watch the movie, we should take a moment to thank our sponsors for the week.
Oh, of course. Who's our sponsor for this week, Vidur?
Our sponsor for this week is, you know, it's pretty crazy because I can see you utilizing our sponsor right now. Our sponsor for this week, Banyans.
Banyans?
I don't think I said that properly. What I meant to say was Banyans.
Why are you calling it a banyan?
I don't know, man. I have family in UP and they were always like, banyan pen, look.
I'm not utilizing a banyan. I'm just wearing a white t-shirt, bitch.
Your white tee is like the upper middle class version of a banyan. The banyans that I'm talking about, they're like the half sleeve, deep round neck, like thin material.
It's the Indian sweat absorber, essentially.
It is the Indian sweat absorber. We are sweaty, sweaty people. And these banyans are a lifesaver. And they're our sponsors this week.
Thanks for clarifying that. And thank you, Banyans, I guess.
Thanks very much. So, ready to do this?
Yeah, let me just pop on my Banyan real quick.
All right, do it.
Let's do it.
Let's go watch the movie. I know what you're going to say. I know what your first point is going to be. Let's just get it over with. Just say it.
Now I'm trying to think of an alternative point so that I can give you a curveball.
I think I know what it's going to be.
It's so long.
Yes.
It's such a long fucking movie, dude.
I felt about this movie the way everybody feels about me. Just the perfect length. This movie needed to be long. This movie is like the greatest fucking gangster saga ever told. Like, I felt it should have been longer. I wish it was long. I wish it was like an 8-hour movie. I would lap that shit up. This movie is like, I think it's like comparable to The Godfather or some shit, man. It's like the greatest gangster saga
Hold
ever
up.
Made.
Hold up. What did you just say?
Gangs of Wazipur. Perhaps greater than. This is a mathematical expression. Perhaps greater than.
Perhaps great. Being a mathematician.
Godfather Part 1 and 2 combined.
Oh my god, dude.
It's like this genius level magnum opus of Anurag Kashyap that shows violence coursing through the veins of Wazipur and Dhanbad and Jharkhand in a way that, I mean, no other movies even come close.
Sorry, bro. My head still hurts from the whole Godfather remark. I wasn't even planning to talk about The Godfather at all because there is no comparison. But I don't understand how you went ahead and said that it's comparable to The Godfather. Do you remember Godfather Part 2? Do you remember that shit?
There is this cut of The Godfather or like a showing of The Godfather where you watch it chronologically.
Right.
So you actually watch the De Niro parts of
In
Godfather
Italy.
2.
Right.
And then it goes into Marlon Brando and then Michael Corleone. That's what this movie is like. He made it chronologically. That's the only difference. He could have made it such that he made part two first and then part one was a flashback and it would have had the same effect as The Godfather.
I mean, I understand what you're trying to say. This movie reeks of influence and I understand anyone who would be trying to make a gangster or a gangster saga movie would be heavily influenced by The Godfather. But
yeah, so what?
So I don't even want to bring The Godfather up.
I just want to lay some cards on the table.
Uh-huh.
Gangs of Wazipur style. There's no fucking way you're winning this feud. I want to fucking kick your ass. And what I'm trying to say is...
say it, bitch.
Teri kya ke lunga.
Oh my god, dude. That's what... Like, I love the dialogues in the movie. I'll give that to you, obviously.
Yes, point me.
But teri kya ke lunga, I didn't get that. And I didn't understand why it became such a rage in India. Like, do you remember when the movie came out, people were like, oh, teri kya ke lunga. And you're like, kya bol raha yaar?
Just
kya?
The phrase, bro. Kya ke lunga. And then it had all those like sexual overtones, even though that's not what I was talking about. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to f*** you and I'm still going to f*** you. And that's what he does to Ramadhir. He...
Over three generations. Wow. Well done. Well done. Even, and Manoj Bajpayee, the guy who hated him the most, wasn't even alive when it happened. I mean, dude, we'll get to it. We'll get through. Like,
yeah, but all throughout his short-lived life, he was going and looing.
He was a fucking rapist, first of all. Okay? If we do a deep diving into Manoj Bajpayee's character, great
actor.
What you're
trying to say is he was a flawed character. I can see he was a flawed character.
Flawed character is if you take the rape aside. Alright, then the looting and the killing and all, that's a flawed character. And on top of that, this fucking leech motherfucker, the creepiest guy in the world, staring at women.
It's just like Bill Cosby, bro. Rape aside, solid character.
No, I'm saying rape aside is a flawed character. With rape in it, it's just goes to like three new levels.
Yeah, he's like an anti-villain you love to hate, hate to love. He's irresistible to watch, man. You have to admit that. I mean, there's a lot of characters that are fleshed out sometimes only over the course of a scene or something. I'm sure we'll go down the list, or maybe we won't even have the time to.
Yeah.
But Sardar Khan is the most fleshed out character, even more than Faisal Khan.
Because they spend the most time in it. They spend the most time. Yeah, the focus is on him throughout the first movie, obviously. And even in the second movie, his influence is still there over the family and all of that.
Part 2 ends up being like, fast-paced, shit is just going down. Every scene changes the dynamics. Every scene builds on itself. That's when you're like really glued to the screen. It like shifts from a character study to just becoming this weird history of this family, showcasing the history of the gangs of Wazipur. And I loved both aspects of that.
I know what you mean, but I really feel that because there's just so many characters to deal with in the movie.
Again, because amazing. No movie has been able to accomplish that.
It's a great attempt at doing it. But you know what would have been better if instead of two parts or how it was released in two parts, if this would have been a three-parter or something like that. Because second part just feels so rushed, dude. Imagine if three-fourths of the second part, if they were more fleshed out and a third part come out of that and you spend a little more time on Sardar Khan over the course of one and a half parts, it would have been way better. Because you have the first part where they're fleshing out characters, they're building that story, they're building the whole rivalry with Ramadhir.
Totally discounting the joy that comes from the speed and the pace of the second act. You may not have realized it, but like subconsciously, especially when you watch the two movies together, you've invested in these characters and then the story just becomes so fast-paced.
Yeah, but then, you know, I didn't like a lot of things that Anurag Kashyap ended up employing. So the use of these sort of frill characters, right, which are there, they do have some sort of impact on the overall story, but literally if I pull them out of the movie, there would be no difference in the outcome and
name
stuff like
one
that.
Character. No, outcome. Wait a second. I take that back. Outcome, who the f*** cares about? I'm talking about like every character like leaves its mark.
Yeah,
on the
but then for people who are watching it for the first or second time, literally a month after watching the movie, they would have forgotten 3/4 of the characters.
No, dude. Firstly, you're used to like traditional movies, right? Where you like have four characters that usually by the end of it, you can't even remember the name of, but those are the ones you like focus on.
No, man. I disagree. So like if you look at sagas depend on characters, right? And they depend on characters evolving so that you know that, oh, this guy in the first movie or this guy in the second movie on the first part, and then you relate to them in sort of how they've grown all throughout the saga. Here, dude, like there are characters that come up for 5 minutes in the second part itself. They're gone. They do have some impact for like plus minus 15 minutes before and after they came or something like that. But in reality, if they were not there, it would make the movie less confusing, more followable, and the impact would still be the same. I would think so.
Dude, Kashyap's just demanding that you keep up, man. I felt sad when Guddu died. I didn't even know like I cared about Guddu until he died. I was like, holy shit, dude. Like, yeah. I was following this guy throughout and I was following him for years as he was following Nawazuddin and stuff. And so many characters. I mean, Tangent had his own like typical Anurag Kashyap. Have you seen Black Friday?
I have, yes.
You remember it has like the great Indian chase in Black Friday where this guy is just being chased for like, like, I don't know, like what feels like 20 minutes, but it's awesome. And then Tangent gets like a chase like that. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's Tangent. Unforgettable. Like, I will always remember
Yeah,
Tangent.
I know what you mean. I know the quirkiness of the name and the character as well. It can't
through
something.
I didn't get the quirkiness, so I have to
of
say.
The name?
Yeah. There were three English names.
Perpendicular,
in the movie.
Tangent and all.
And they, Definite.
Definite. They got a little too much for me, dude. Honestly, because if you notice, I think they show up all in the second movie, which makes sense because like the Western influence started creeping into India at that point or something like that. But the names, I mean, dude, Tangent, okay, fine, badass, dude, robbing.
Perpendicular's name was Babua, that we found out.
Oh, yeah, when Definite is in jail, right?
Yeah, when he's calling
Definite
ka
naam hai.
Yeah. Definite ka naam Definite?
Arre, par naam ka hai, jaise perpendicular ka Babua hai, Definite ka naam hai?
Def matlab behra. Or net matlab net.
yeah. But yeah, dude, like, I think those, like, that quirkiness that he tried to put in, like, with those few songs, He tried to show a different era, and I think he did a...
No, he showed like 70 years of eras, which is the fucking awesome part. Pre-independence till like mid-2000s, which is, again, just unparalleled, man.
So another thing I wanted to talk about that sort of put me off about the movie was, you know, there are these actors and there are these characters that feel completely authentic. But on the other hand, there are these characters who... they're interacting with who don't feel authentic at the same time. So it's just this mixed tone that you get from the movie, right? Like, for example, Shahid Khan. That guy's delivery wasn't as authentic as Manoj Bajpayee's delivery or Nawazuddin Siddiqui's delivery.
You cannot expect anybody to compete with those two.
No, why not? I think Piyush Mishra, all of these guys, there were people who delivered better than Nawazuddin Siddiqui and Manoj Bajpayee did.
Yeah, dude, Piyush Mishra was f***ing amazing. Piyush Mishra is so underrated in this movie.
Really? I mean, I think he was well appreciated for what he did.
No. What he was appreciated for... see, his acting was great because he's great. And also his character was, I mean, just not as interesting, but constantly present. But also he wrote the lyrics to many songs. He sang that amazing song.
Ek taraf mein gand hogi, ek taraf mein chhatiyan, ek taraf mein bhon hogi, bhon karke bhootiyan, maine gand le. What is happening, man?
Wow, dude. You're like the Weird Al Yankovic of fucking guzzles, bro.
Dude, and why is he like punishing himself constantly? What a guy, man. Like, what the fuck is that, dude? Just like self-flashing. I don't even... It's like, okay, old man got an erection. Old man boner type.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but like, what the hell? And they show it in such a way that, oh my god, dude.
That's his characterization, bro. He's like the consigliere who stays.
If those lashing scenes were not in the movie, it would have been no difference to his characterization.
Not at all. You understand. He's, by the way, he's a very important character. He's the only guy who survives out of the entire tree.
Extremely important character in the movie.
And it's like how he does it.
Self-lashing not required.
Yeah, but you know, you're forgetting the part where it connects to how Sardar Khan ignores his wife. And then he, even though he's his best friend, gets almost involved with
her. Please, come on. You know, that's a little too far-fetched.
Dude, if nothing else, I loved his makeup. And like the makeup and hair, the way they show people grow old is so natural, don't you
think? The only character I loved that they did it to was Ramadhir Singh.
Really? You actually like Ramadhir Singh's makeup? I would think that would be the one thing you'd bring up. Oh, Ramadhir Singh should be much older.
I mean...
Blah, 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 blah. With everybody fucking complained Ramadhir Singh was so young and old.
Yeah, dude, because he should look way older than he actually does when he dies. But... his makeup of whenever, like, I think they...
Perfect, man. Thanks for making my point for me. Can you believe this movie was made for 18 crores? That is it.
18 crores is actually great.
Nothing. For a five-hour movie, and it's not lacking. The production qualities are insane. For like a two-minute scene or like a two-minute party, you'll have like 10 extras. Just to like hand a cup of tea, he'll have 30 extras in jail singing
a song.
But then
think about it this way.
And the makeup is like so on point.
Yeah,
amazing.
But then think about it this way. Where does the biggest chunk of your movie budget go to your actors, right? And the biggest bill in this movie was Manoj Bajpayee, who I think...
So what? Well-established?
Well-established, but Manoj Bajpayee, this was like a passion project for him. Like, he was completely sold.
Well-chosen, my friend.
Completely. He's from Bihar, authentically. So that authenticity came with his character. That's why he managed to make it in 18 crores, right?
Even, trust me, even aside from actors, 18 crores, that's his specialty. That's what Anurag Kashyap is known for.
Right.
Biggest bang out of his buck. My God, he managed that here.
Completely, completely.
All right, you know what? We can easily get lost in this. I could talk about this movie longer than the movie was, for sure.
Okay.
So the question is, how do we do this? This is definitely going to be a long one. It's a long movie,
it is.
To be fair.
Which it has to. I mean, we have to give the movie its due respect.
The movie deserves respect, does it?
No. Don't misconstrue my word. So how do you want to do this then?
So why don't we just start with the script?
The scripture.
Scripture. This script is basically scripture. I mean, gangster movies for life and just movies in general should be weighed against this. By the way, you know the guy who came up with the idea for the movie is the guy who played Definite.
Oh, I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, dude. Zeeshan Qadri, I guess his name.
Zeeshan.
Zeeshan. Or Zeeshan, you know.
All right, New Yorker.
All right, Zeeshan Qadri. Yeah, dude. So he's from Wasepur. I heard his whole story. And it's amazing, dude. He was just like, you know, going to be a call center / MBA kar lete hain kind of fellow. And then he just kind of got like bored with it during the recession. And he's like, chal Bombay chal lete hain, why not? You know, just live the struggler life. And out of nowhere, just decides to write like a 7-8 page write-up. And he's like, mere ko ye kahani batani hai, and goes around. Just went outside Anurag Kashyap's office for like 5 days straight. Didn't find him. Then like essentially stalked Anurag Kashyap. He wrote up like a little summary. And Anurag Kashyap was like, this is the movie I'm making next. He had come to become an actor in Bombay. So he's like, yeah, I want to play like a role. He's like, I'll act also. So he's like, yeah, you'll be Definite. And he acted in a couple of other movies. Went on to direct a movie that wasn't very watched. And is now currently working on Gangs of Wazipur Part 3, which he will most likely also direct.
Oh, Anurag Kashyap won't be directing it? It might be better than the other movies then.
Oh, fuck you.
So, you know, one thing I want to actually touch upon is, and I've seen this with a lot of my friends who saw Gangs of Wazipur when it came out too. A big reason why I feel people are enamored by this movie is that...
it's genius.
Whatever, dude. Just get over it. All right. But just coming back to the point, a big reason of why a lot of folks, and obviously I've only spoken to people from Delhi, born and raised mostly in North India and stuff, right? Who've seen the movie.
Yeah.
And one big reason why they sort of enamored by the movie is not just the whole cussing and the dialogue delivery and all of that in the movie, but also the accent, right? So the whole Bhojpuri accent, the way people talk in Bihar and Jharkhand now, it's very unique. And whenever you cuss in that sort of accent, it's actually very entertaining. So if you're doing that for the first time, I can totally imagine people just being like, fucking hell, that's hilarious. Oh man, that's so cool. Oi bhain, hey, kya bolega, bolega.
It's the authenticity, because Zeeshan
It's actually pretty, they come pretty close. And a big reason, I'm sure, is Zeeshan Qadri and him being from that area, right? But I mean, I went to Chennai for college. I had a lot of kids from Bihar who I spent 4 years with. So I've sort of spent 4 years in that space where people are, you know, calling me a beti phod denge saale sunega, like shit like that, right? So I was used to that when it came out. And a lot of people in Delhi, they found it really hard to follow the movie a lot of times, because when
I found it pretty hard to follow the movie,
I did
yeah.
not. I understood everything, right? So
really?
Yeah, because dude, I mean, it once you get that twang, right, you're sorted. Hey JP, nakabandi kya laga rakha hai be? And then JP cuts the phone. Ek phone kar diya. Hey, bhag. Pichakar.
That's right? Pretty good.
They've done a good job in terms of authenticity of dialogue delivery and characterization and stuff like that. But they try to overcome gaps in storyline and plot lines and stuff like that by using elements like those. And people actually completely fall for it and think the story and the plot and all is great as well, which I don't think it is.
Dude, any gaps that you're perceiving are actually intentional. You don't think Anurag Kashyap could perceive like the gap in a story, or when he was making jumps ahead in the story, or like when the narration was coming in. All of that is totally intentional. He's expressing the story of the movie in a different way than what we're used to. We're used to seeing it slowly or through different characters, not so much through narration. You have to think back to something like Casino, like Scorsese's Casino. Or, I mean, of course, people associate narration the most with Goodfellas, but actually Casino is the one that utilizes the most. It's like quick edits, lot of narration, and then it covers a saga. And just wrapping things up in terms of Zeshan Kadri and other influences. I mean, Zeshan Kadri admits that the guy didn't even know who Guru Dutt was. The guy had never seen any world cinema. He just thought like cinema is cinema, like hum aapke hain kaun types. And then he just randomly watched City of God when he was a struggling like actor in Bombay very early on. And because of City of God, he just introduced himself to world cinema all over. And that's when he ended up really getting inspired and putting together the movie the way it looks today, along with other screenwriters. He's not the only guy.
Speaking of City of God here, dude, I mean, another big problem I think a lot of people would have had with this movie is that it's not in f***ing English, man.
Yes, we discuss. It's not an English movie.
Dude, I mean, you, being an Indian, had trouble following the dialogues.
Actually, the subtitles probably made it easier because I couldn't keep up with the Bihari. But again, it's like, dude, it's almost
Bhojpuri.
I'm sorry, Bhojpuri. But
it's like you're calling Hindi Indian again, dude.
The thing is, like, just like maybe Christopher Nolan, maybe it's not about following everything via dialogue. It's like kind of like an experience. You're like just keeping it with fast pace. And a lot of time, dialogue's not necessary, right? When they're shooting someone in the head.
I agree. If it's not necessary, don't put it there. If you put it there, I expect
no,
to follow
it's
it.
For people like you who maybe fucking know it. No, or like man. On the third watch,
it has
beautiful.
To. No, it has to. If it's reaching out to so many people visually, then it has to reach out to those many people in terms of dialogue delivery.
Oh, I'm
as well.
Sorry. I missed the part where you published your book where it had the rules of everything a film has
that's,
to
I'm just, it's a personal, it's a
do.
Personal opinion. That's all there is. No need to get like your panties in a bunch.
Dude, while we're on the subject of subtitles, it's a good time to pivot to the music. I watched the version of the movie with really good English subtitles, since this was released internationally.
I'm sure the subtitles were pretty spot on, right?
The subtitles were, well, either they were spot on or they were like...
Close enough.
No, more like they would be something parallel, like something that means...
They'd get the meaning across in an impactful manner. I think that's what...
Even if they use a different analogy. Or
right,
different
right,
words.
Right.
But, and this is where it comes to the music.
Uh-huh.
The songs have subtitles as well.
Are you serious?
And not just like the kind you see in like the theater where they just translate the Hindi, right?
Uh-huh.
The songs are like subtitled in a way that makes them rhyme. And I literally typed out a few. So you know the song Keh Ke Lunga, right?
Uh-huh.
And I have here some of the translations from the song Keh Ke Lunga.
Okay.
So there's a line, Khanjar se doodh gire, aur ho katle aan, teri keh ke lunga, right? Which... I don't know if we get exactly what it means, but more or less.
Kanjar,
you
know, is knife, right?
Yeah, exactly, okay. Right? And the translation of that is, sweet milk or blood, my dagger may reap. Pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty poetic.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll know my name when I f*** you deep.
So, Keh Ke Lunga is when I f*** you deep.
But they keep not, changing Keh Ke Lunga to make it rhyme. I'll give you another example. Jisne bachna ho bachle. Jisne bachna ho bachle, bach meri jaan teri keh ke lunga. You remember that part?
So, yeah, yeah.
Take cover, my man.
Uh-huh.
Run, run, run.
Okay.
Pretty close.
Okay. Yeah, kind of.
I'll still f*** you just for fun.
Oh, man. Who did the subtitles here? Dude,
somebody spent some real effort doing the subtitles, and I appreciated the hell out of it.
Subtitle aside, man, like, with the music, with part one and part two, there's some sort of difference in the tone of the sort of the songs that are in the movie.
Yeah, no, that's the genius of it, dude. The songs actually mirror the time periods that they're showing.
Right.
So, I mean, there's something that, of course, applies throughout, like Kehke Lunga, for instance, which is the theme of the movie.
Of course, but I think they lost, Anurag Kashyap lost the plot a little bit with the second part regarding his keenness to show the timeline.
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
I think this is the greatest soundtrack, and it's very underappreciated. Greatest soundtrack I've ever heard. This woman, Sneha Kakkar, just came out of nowhere with the soundtrack.
Right.
And just completely mixed not only different genres as they map through the decades and they change up their musical styles, but also managed to retain this like Bihar vibe. You know, a Kala Ray will come out of nowhere, which is like really pulling all the themes together of Cole being black and Nawazuddin Siddiqui being black and also him being like a violent killer and shit.
It's not as good as you make it sound. That fucking song in that train. What the fuck is that song? I know they try to show hippies and like drugs and like the whole culture in India at that point of time and like Siddiqui standing there and like getting amused by all of it. But fucking that song is... It makes my ears bleed, bro.
It's so catchy, bro.
How is that catchy? I am a haunter. She you want to see it. My dog? What the fuck he's saying? It's so stupid. Also, misogynistic much? The fuck, dude?
The entire movie is misogynistic. I mean, that it actually made me think about the role of and position of women in society deeper than movies solely focus on that have. Because they do it in such a natural way. They so assume their place. Like, there isn't even a feminist character that's like really pushing back and making like a big deal out of it. Uma Qureshi is like this cool person and she wears shades and stuff, but she still fucking knows her place.
No, Manoj Bajpayee's second wife sort of fucks people over, right?
That's true. That's great. Yeah. Again, like sort of unsaid feminist, not at all feminist, just kind of like a crazy ass vindictive as it turns out, yep. But like totally what's that phrase, dude? Hell hath no fury like a woman scorn. Oh shit, bro. Like, no shit, man. Like, she got rid of his entire generation, man. What's wrong with her?
Yeah, technically they're all blood relatives, so it's pretty f***ed up. But I get your point about misogyny and women's place in society, and even more so in I would imagine from what I gather about this country, more so in like places like Bihar in the 60s and 70s, it would just be even worse than it would be in like urban India.
Actually, this was one of my favorite facets of this movie, is in its depiction of, you know, life through these decades in a small town place like Wazipur, especially pre and post independence. The facets of life that it showed and focused on, it really blew me away, because in a certain way, we all know, like if we had to guess, we would know that women were treated like this. We would know that they had pretty much no say. They were at the whim of the husbands and the men in the household. But to see it so raw, and then even within that, to watch them assert themselves, like Nagma as a character is probably the strongest character in the movie, man. Throughout, like, she consistently, even though she doesn't have much say in what her husband does, has complete power over him. She's the only one who stands up to him whenever she wants, and yet she like loves him, she gives in to him. Dude, and the whole sequence about when it is established that Sardar Khan is an adulterer, that shit is so funny. Which, let's just get to this part of the movie. This movie is so f***ing funny. It's funnier than any other gangster movie I've seen, and many gangster movies try to be funny. I mean, Goodfellas is hilarious, and this movie is... It's like Goodfellas taken to the next level, because every, like, an assassination will end up being the funniest thing ever, and him being an adulterer is like the funniest thing ever, because, like, again, it shows like this facet of real life. Because when they're discussing how he's an adulterer, you know, like, they're sitting in front of like some village elder, and the village elder is like, "Tum control kara karo, no maine aise control, aadmiyon ko control karna
hota hai." He's like, "Jiye ki nahi jiye."
Yeah, jiye ki nahi jiye. And then the whole time he's having this argument, like, somebody from the house is there. Like, Asghar is always sitting there. He's, like, watching this happen.
Yeah.
And then in the next scene, they've established, she's like, "You need to satisfy your urges. You go out and do it." And then she says, "Thoda kha lo, don't embarrass me out there." And then Asghar is just sitting there hearing this. Yeah.
There are parts where in the movie, they're trying to inject that sort of humor into it. But it just gets a little too much or doesn't feel in place. I understand what you mean by how you could think that it's one of the funnier gangster movies. Obviously, I don't know why you keep comparing it to Godfather and Goodfellas.
Forget the Godfather, but it's so funny, and then mirrored with, it's also one of the most violent ones ever.
It is a violent one, yes. Anurag Kashyap does violence decently well, I would say. And
he doesn't hold it back it was, and it wasn't even glorified. Especially like one of the most famous violent scenes is that scene with the screwdriver where he stabs him like 10 times.
Right.
Manoj Bajpayee, Sardar Khan.
Yeah.
Oh my God, man. It's so brutal, but so realistic and
it
so
is,
cool.
But coming back to your point, I think there are a few scenes which are way too glorified and could be avoided. So his dad, Shahid Khan, when they didn't let him go when his wife was having a baby.
Yeah, and the slow motion fight scene.
Dude, I mean, that was a little too much, man. And just
on
the whole
purpose,
blood on his face. And then like the fucking last scene of the movie where he's shooting Ramadhir Singh.
Oh my God. So epic. See, one thing
it was so out of place. What are you talking about? With the whole tone of the movie, the way the movie was built up, it should have been a single shot or fucking a clip that at most he's like, "Aye, niche se aur goli la, banduk la, bhos."
He doesn't even say any of that. He just fucking shakes his finger like Neo in the Matrix and definite
no, but
runs
like,
fighting bullets just to get him two more fucking Kalashnikovs.
Not definite that. A tangent guy.
Oh yeah, the other guy, Tangent
and then,
definite.
No, but then when he's going up, he's like, "Sala, banduk mangua to liya yor." Matlab, he tells him that, "Listen, this is what the guns are for. The guns are not for defending ourselves. We're probably going to die. The guns are for putting holes into Ramadhir Singh's body. So just keep resupplying them like whenever I run
I'm
out."
I'm going to address that in a moment, okay? Because that's an interesting point you bring up about how it's out of place. But how epic was Ramadhir like pretending to like raise the pistol and then just kind of giving up, like
he's
fucking
like,
not fighting?
Bhai, 80 saal se ki family se main bach raha hu, like just like kill me, dude. I don't give a shit.
Because murder and violence is so ingrained into Wazirpur. It's a different life, dude. We're almost not understanding. That's what he's trying to make us understand, Anurag Kashyap, is that imagine if dying was just another thing that just happened.
Yeah.
The way getting a job is, or getting fired from a job is.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things in your life that you have to account for.
Yeah.
Possibility of getting whacked off tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just sad, but it is how it is.
Yeah.
As for it being out of place, so now the dubstep f***ing drop.
Yeah, dude. That shot of like him standing like just like with that slight smirk on his face, just like firing a clip of AK into Ramadhir Singh. I mean, come on, man. Like,
No. So let me address that. That actually, you think Anurag Kashyap didn't know it was out of place? And it wasn't like he's f***ing out living out his fantasy of putting dubstep. The point is, it is sort of the culmination of this like multi-generation saga, and it's ending in this surreal way, almost like a wink to the audience, the way these things do end. It's like this climactic f***ing showdown that is subverting everything else the movie has established. And I would have even then agreed that it's out of place, supposedly, if it ended on that. But no, it didn't. Then the cycle of violence goes on. Definite ends and Definite stands, and Definite's going to be the new king of Wazirpur, and who knows what will happen from then. So it's a very measured thing. And if you look at it on a sort of deeper level of what it meant for the rest of the movie, it's pretty cool. And again, epic use of music, dude. Just epic.
I mean, dude, I can feel the bias in your tone and your explanation over there.
Feel the love, you mean? Feel the reverence.
No, man. I mean, I actually disagree with what you said there in terms of it being measured. And obviously, I'm not doubting that Anurag Kashyap did not anticipate that reaction or the thought behind that scene and all of that. It was all put in purposely. And he knew what he was doing. But what he did didn't work, according to me. It made no sense. You know, if that scene would have been toned down by 50%, it still would have had the same impact, because the next 5 minutes of the movie are also pretty important, where Definite turns on Faisal and they show Definite's mother standing there. So you sort of understand the repercussions of Manoj Bajpayee's fucking behavior from movie one coming into play here, even though he's been dead for like God knows how long. And
J.P. Singh, you know what's actually never addressed enough is how J.P. Singh murders his own father. Like all the resentment builds up.
Yeah, gets him murdered. Because, I mean, they try to show that he's frustrated with his father's...
Yeah. He's like, have you seen Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
No, I haven't yet, man.
Oh,
That's
how I always imagine. Because it talks about this guy, Jiro, who's been making sushi for 70 years.
Yeah.
But his son is like 50 years old and he's been making sushi for 40 years too. And he's still like the sous chef to Jiro.
Yeah,
and
but
I was
then
like, dude, this guy's going to get Jiro murdered one day.
No, but if Jiro treats his son like Ramadhir treats JP. Even though
Jiro does treat his son like that. Jiro treats his son like shit.
Okay, let's put it in a different way. If his son is anything like JP, then he deserves to be treated like the way JP was. Because JP's a dumbass in the movie, right? Like, he's just like, he's f***ing things up more than...
JP ke lachan ding nahi hai movie.
But like, the only thing JP has going for him is like, he's closer to the cops than Ramadhir is technically. Because everything cop-related that Ramadhir Singh wants, he gets it done via JP.
Right.
So the cops are in JP's pocket rather than Ramadhir Singh's pocket. And that's what eventually leads to Ramadhir Singh's downfall at the end. He sort of underestimated Definite. I think everyone died because they underestimated Definite. right, at the end of it. Or his mother, or whatever the influence was.
And that brings back to the broader theme of the movie. It's this idea of violence through inheritance.
Manoj Bajpayee got pelted by at least 40 bullets.
It was an homage to Sonny from Godfather.
ऐसे नहीं दिखाया था यार उसको तो.
He got pelted by like Tommy guns, like 50 bullets. Look what they've done to my son. Don't you remember? Look what they've done to my boy.
Dude, and then him walking out, like stopping a rickshaw, rickshaw pe baith gaya, ye wo. I mean,
all right, that was drawn out.
Is an understatement here.
That
right?
was drawn out, but only because I think it was the end of the first movie. That's why.
So, what is this fascination of drawing out f***ing death or kill scenes?
Dude, I didn't watch it at Cannes. Like, I don't know how they showed it, but I doubt they drew it out this much if it was simply.
I don't think
interval.
They cut the movie for that. They must have told people that it's like a 5-hour movie, sit through it, and they showed it as is, right? I mean, I'm talking from a perspective of seeing both movies.
No,
so
I grant.
That was really f***ed up.
But bro, the genius of that is, okay, now we can never go back and watch the movie as one movie, right? The f***ing movie seems to be about Sardar Khan versus Ramadeer Singh. And midway through the movie, the protagonist gets shot in the head. That is like some Ned Stark moment right there. And so he milks it a little bit, you know? And then also you're wondering, like, what the f*** will happen next? None of his sons have been established as real entities. And to the extent they have, Danish has been established. And now we know Nawaz is like a big deal. But back then he was just like a side character. F***ing Danish and Nawaz.
I mean, it wasn't side. They just showed him like just getting baked all the time. That's about it.
But my point is, when we watch a movie and we see a famous actor and we know he has a role, we know that, okay, he's going to have a bigger role.
Well, dude, I mean, from the get-go, you could see the Godfather influence on the movie. And you knew like Danish was Sonny and Faisal is Michael, and you knew what was going to happen, man. And it was inevitable, and it sort of panned out that way too. So
that's
I wasn't
fair. I didn't know personally because like Nawaz's character was just made to be such a black sheep, you know. Nawaz's character was closer to a Fredo as opposed to a Michael. And so that's why you didn't know.
Maybe it was like it's a good combo of the two, but you knew that it was the diminutive brother, the younger brother who's not had much say in the whole gangster part of it, but who's been around, who knows it and stuff like that. And as soon as Manoj Bajpayee is dead, you know that that's what's going to happen.
No,
man.
Dude, Danish is the one who takes over. And I definitely didn't know the way it was going to go down for sure. And the way, dude, Faisal's rise to power is better than Michael's, man. I mean,
okay. Dude, I think you need to go rewatch Godfather 1 and 2.
I watched it very recently.
Watching Gangs.
Yeah, but to be fair, The Godfather is a 40-year-old movie. And Anurag Kashyap took advantage of those 40 years and improved upon the story in the way he Indianized it, you know?
I think he Indianized it, masala-dized it, if that's a word. But
masala, bro? There's no f***ing masala in this movie, man. Like, the way people die...
Bro, there are some characters which are not needed. They are added.
That's fair. That's fair. But you are basing this that they were not needed for the story of Ramadhir versus Faisal or Ramadhir versus Sardar.
Or even Faisal's character building or Danish's character building. Anything. Those are standalone storylines which remain standalone in terms of their arc as well.
But when they come together, man, they showcase those two things. Violence through inheritance and violence in just the drainage system of the city is covered in blood, basically. That's just the nature of it.
I mean, sure, dude. And shit's actually pretty legit in Bihar. Like, I had a few friends in college and they used to have these fights.
They had kattas?
Dude, I've seen one fight I will never forget in my life, man. Like, it was brutal. The guy who was the instigator had to run away because police were hunting him for like 6 months.
What the f***?
Yeah. It was like a pretty badass fight with like knife slashing and shit like that.
And that's the thing, how quickly those things escalate in that. That's in the environment you were in. I mean, Imagine Wazipur. And similarly, and this is kind of City of God influence as well, but I bet that's what happened in Wazipur. It's like how people take up becoming criminals is so simple. Like, You threaten someone with a knife one day, you buy a katta the next day, you rob a petrol pump the third day, you know, extort someone the last day, you pay off the cops, and then next thing you know, you're like running a gang empire.
Yeah, dude. If you're Sultana Daku's nephew, you're going to become a fucking gangster. That's all you...
That too, yeah. Running in your family, yeah.
You see it happening, right? Manoj Bajpayee's sons had to get into that line because they see your dad. They see the success the dad's achieved via those means. So they that's all they know, right? And I mean, fucking Nagma. Richa Chadda telling Faisal not to go to school because dad hasn't sent enough money back. So he has to get a job. I mean, he knows his dad's a gangster. Eventually, he will also become a gangster if he's not going to school, especially.
Right.
And I mean, the whole school dropout rate in rural India, let's not like, that's a different
another
thing.
Cool facet. It's like, there's no choice. There's no chance.
But point being, I mean, you keep mentioning how it's an improvement on The Godfather. I don't think it's an improvement at all, actually.
The Godfather, dude. I don't need that for my argument.
You're the one who's bringing it up, just by the way, right?
It's that good. What do I do?
It's great because it's so heavily influenced by The Godfather. That's why it reminds you of The Godfather too much. It's not an improvement,
dude,
at all.
When I have grandchildren, when my Shahid Khan sperm spawn my Faisal Khan's down the road,
mm-hmm.
they will not be talking about The Godfather. They'll be talking about this movie when it comes to fucking gangster movies. You laugh now, my friend. They laughed at little Frank Coppola, too.
Oh, I thank you. I thank you for that because I haven't had that good a laugh in a long f***ing time. You know, where my eyes have watered up and I can't breathe. Oh, man. I mean, I'd like to chat with your grandkids because they need some serious film education. I already know
my grand. You'll be the Ramathir Singh to my grandkids, bro.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I think it is a good movie in parts, and I see.
Yeah, part one and part two.
Nice, nicely done. I see why you're so enamored by it. I think it has a lot to do with the whole Bhojpuri element in it. I feel like why it didn't impact me as much as it would have the average person is because I've been around people from Bihar.
And what is this argument that I've been around,
dude,
people
trust
from
me,
Bihar?
I've seen a few Bhojpuri movies.
If I knew a Brazilian favela, dude, do you think I wouldn't have liked Sinir
Not
God?
Not a motherfucker. If you're around 40 of them.
You were around 40 of them?
There were 60 kids in my class, 35 of them from Bihar. So I already know the whole Bhojpuri-ness of it. If you're my friend and we're from Bihar, I would be calling you Vidurva, a Bidurva.
Obviously.
Like the whole Wa thing, right? So stuff like that, I was already used to. But like people...
Can you actually call me Bidurva? Actually, I can't.
No, a Bidurva. Bolega. Itna marenge na bolke. You hear that all the time, right? I've seen Bhojpuri movies, for example. And because that is infused into a mainstream film like Gangs is a big reason of why people love it. And that part just went over my head. I appreciated it, but it didn't make me love the movie so much.
That it had a lot of pizzazz and made the movie even better. But take that away and it's still so solid. And I'll tell you why I can say that assertively is because if you think about the people who love this movie internationally or like the high ratings on Rotten Tomatoes or why it's on the IMDb top 250,
right?
They don't know the f*** they're hearing, right? The accent is meaningless to them. Right, they love the movie for the story and the plot and the characterization and the production, really, and the direction. So, yeah, I mean, it adds a lot for people like us who are like right on the cusp, who of course can understand, especially if we pay enough attention to what they're saying. I mean, that's just maybe like 5% of the movie is that. And there's like 19 other things that make this movie 100% awesome.
I think you should go watch the Godfather series after this.
Don't
say it. To get some perspective.
Don't say it as though I'm a peasant who hasn't watched the Godfather series enough.
You're talking like one. Godfather aane de, itna marenge na bhoge, itna marenge na. Koli mar mar ke pital bhar denge bhoge. Bolega. Bolega. Dude, this was one thing, man. I don't want to hate my friends, but they're like, hey, Bikram, bolega. Bolega. I'm like, sorry, bro. Because then, you know, if you're ripping on someone from Bihar, like, once they get agitated, like, this is one thing they love saying. They're like, hey, bolega. Bolega. Itna marenge na bolega. 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 Just keep saying bolega. Bolega to you, right? It's hilarious, man.
Yeah, I guess. All right. The more you talk like it and the more it entertains me, maybe it wasn't 5%. Maybe it was like 7% of the joy I got from the movie.
2%.
All right, I'm not sure how to end this, but I do know what dialogue best encapsulates what we've been doing here.
Okay, let's hear it.
I think like if a feud was to have a title for this episode, for like a subtitle, this is what it would be. Jaise lohe ko loha kaatta hai,
waise chutiya hi chutiya ko kaatega.
So that was this week's episode of Film Feud. Thanks for tuning in.
फट गया रे दिमाग पिक्चर देख देख के पांचों घंटा सारा लुड़ा दिया बे.
Still cracks me up. Now we feuded, you decide. Tweet at us at Film Feud Pod. Let us know who you think won the feud. Let us know what arguments you might have made. Let us know any Bhojpuri you might know.
Oh yeah, I'll be tuned in for that one.
Time to spin the Film Feud wheel to select the next movie we're going to be feuding about.
Yes, I'm excited. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
So we got number 51, Ridley Scott's Alien.
I actually have not watched Alien.
I quit this podcast. I quit as your friend.
I know Alien is an important movie of its time, but...
Not just Alien, all the sequels as well.
I know Alien was made by Ridley Scott.
Yes.
Aliens was made by James Cameron.
Yes.
And Aliens 3 was made by some little known guy called David Fincher.
Yeah, who's gone ever?
Some fellow.
Oh, okay.
So I have not seen any of these movies. And this is why I love the podcast. Now I get to watch Alien with Ellen Ripley, a.k.a. Sigourney.
So you know her name's Ellen Ripley in the movie. You know Ridley Scott makes a first, Cameron makes a second, Fincher makes... You know all of this shit because you're a fucking nerd and you're always reading or watching YouTube videos. But you haven't seen the fucking movie.
I saw bits and pieces and it never caught my fancy, to be honest.
If Film Feud wouldn't have been a thing, you wouldn't have...
I may have lived the rest of my life without watching Alien. Happily, I might add.
I can't wait till we get Raging Bull, brother. You don't even know. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And catch you in the next episode where we feud over Alien.
Till then, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or any of the podcatcher where you catch your podcasts. Or even on YouTube. We put out some videos and all our podcasts are on YouTube as well.
Peace.
Bye.